Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "Can a man be profitable to God even as he is, that is wise, may be profitable to himself? Can a man be profitable to God? Can a man benefit God? Can a man add to God's stock? Can a man give anything to God?" Let's say the man was righteous. Does that help God? Does that add to God? Let's say you're wicked. Does that subtract from God? Does that take away from God? No. God can neither be added to or subtracted. So Eliphaz is correct. Eliphaz is correct. Who is Eliphaz? In the Hebrew language, Ella or Eli or Eli or Eli means God. And Faz in Hebrew means the disposer or the dispenser. Now, what does God dispose of? Someone who disposes something is the owner. If you own something, then you have the right of disposal. You can waste it, you can sell it, you can barter it, you can use it, you can benefit by it, you can do whatever you want, because it's yours. You have what's called absolute title. You have ownership. Amen? So when you have ownership or title, you have all the interest in the thing. Look over here, don't look at that row. Here I am, over here. Woo! You have the ability or the capacity or the right or the authority or the power to do anything you want with what's yours. Now, there's only one thing that God claims is His. Does anyone know what it is? What is it that you must render to God? What must be rendered to God? What belongs to Him? Okay, everything. But He actually disposes some of it, allocates some of it, for lesser sovereigns to handle. But what is it that He alone can have that no one else can have? Caesar, for example, can't have this. Worship belongs only to God. So that is a huge limit on Caesar. The government can never be worshipped, nor can you. So I can't get Peggy to worship me. Try it as I may, she won't do it. She just won't do it. So you won't worship me. Why? Well, because it belongs to God. It belongs to God. I can't depend upon, look to you to fulfill me, make me happy. Why? Because that comes from God. So God is the disposer, Eliphaz. Eliphaz, then, is a Temanite. A Temanite is from a man from Teman. Does anyone know where Teman is? Teman. Nobody knows their geography? When did you go? Sixth grade. Geography. Sixth grade. Teman is in Arabia or in parts of southern Jordan, down near the Dead Sea. And Teman is actually in the land of Edom. As a matter of fact, Eliphaz was the name of Esau's firstborn son. So Eliphaz, God is the disposer, God is the dispenser of justice, God is the dispenser of things. He dispenses, disposes of everything, as someone said. So God is actually the owner of everything. God owns everything. How many know He owns you? He not only owns you naturally under the law, but He also owns some of you spiritually because you said to Him, "No, I want you to be my owner. I want to be transferred out of the other ownership guy to your ownership." And you can make that decision, you see, because God paid. He just made a payment and said, anybody who wants to can come out from the other guy and come over into my kingdom. There it is, prepaid. Prepaid. And so if you want to, you get to decide. If you want to, you don't have to belong to the other guy. Now, the other guy is the devil, Satan, the bad guy. So if you want to, you can stay with him. But one thing you can't do, you can't be your own owner. You can't do that. All you can decide is which creature do you want to be, Satan's or God's? You want to be a creature of this world, or you want to be a creature of heaven? That's your only decision. But you can't be your own master. Oh, I think I'll master myself. I kind of grew up that way, thinking I would be the captain of my own ship, the master of, you know. It's kind of a Western concept, you know. I'll be a self-made man, you know. And so I had that idea, and I made myself, and I made a poor job. I did an awful job. I did an awful job of it. Does anybody else do that? Kind of run your own life? Well, let's say, for example, you had a bad husband or a bad wife. You know, so you decided, I'll change. That was silly. That was silly. You know why? Because you're either the master, either Satan is your master or God's your master. So you have to check with your master to see what he allows. Amen? Yeah, but that'll kill me. Good. Very good. That's what the master wants. He doesn't want you to have a will of your own, a thought of your own, an emotion of your own. Oh, poo, poo, poo. Poo, poo. So he doesn't want that. He wants you to do what he says. How many know that you don't get to run your own life? Isn't that poo? I don't want to run my own life. How many know if you run it, you'll ruin it because of the I? Run, ruin. Run plus I is ruin. Kind of a trick there. And so I'm kind of a word crafter. It's a memory, a mnemonic device, you know, a memory device. Don't forget, if you run it, you'll ruin it. Anything you run, you ruin. Why? Because you're not the owner. You're not the master. You're not the boss. You're not the chief. You're just a little chief, a little person. You can only run what he gives you to run. Amen? So you have to decide, which master do you want? Not, what are you going to do? You don't get to decide what you're going to do. God's already established it. You either do his will or you don't. If you don't want to, you go with the other guy. That's about it. Pretty simple. So how many here have made God your master? You know, that just, you know, hey, I'm going with God. It wasn't like it was a big decision on your part. It was just like the only decision to make if you don't want to go to hell. If you don't want to live in hell during life. Because I found when I ran my own life, I did ruin it. I messed it up big time. You know, I made huge mistakes. I mean, one after another after another. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's amazing because when you grow up, you think, good, now that I'm grown up, I'll do what I want. Go where I want. Eat what I want. Sleep when I want. Wear what I want. Say what I want. Me. And that seems to a young person like freedom. But I found the more I lived life that you weren't really free. They made you pay taxes, for example. You know, that right there kind of cramped my mastery thing. Then you had to pay for stuff when you went into a store. Another thing, you don't get to decide. Then they had to drive on the right side of the road and you couldn't drive on the left side. And they didn't allow you to drive over lawns. You know, there were just rules everywhere. I thought I was going to be free. So I found in growing up, there were rules for everything. Everything seemed to have rules on it. And where was my freedom? Pretty limited. So, as I said to you before, the only thing you can really decide is whether you want to be God's creature, the one who made you, or you want to be the rebellious Satan devil creature. And he's just a rebel. I mean, all he is a negative. He has nothing positive to offer. It's just you don't have to be under God. So he's the alternative to God. You either want to be under God, the guy that made you, or you don't. And so that's your choice. Actually, you get to choose that. There's your one choice, your one choice. You get one choice. There it is. And from then on, you've just made your destiny. You just, you know, you've established who you are. You want to trust God, or you want to trust the other fellow? Remember the devil came in the Garden of Eden to help Eve out? Hey, sweetheart, what are you doing? I'm just kind of doing whatever Adam tells me. Oh, what are you doing that for? But I don't know, God said he was the head. He stinks as a head. And so Eve, you know, started listening to that. You're right. You know what, if you come over here and eat this tree, you'd be happy. How many know that sometimes married women want to make up their own minds? Isn't that amazing? I mean, they're not really happy with the stinking husband they have, the unreliable husband that they have. Isn't that funny? Has anybody experienced that? You know, I don't like this stinking one. I gotta get a better one. Well, that's cool. That's a cool idea, but it's only cool in imagination. Actually, you got the one you deserved. You got the one you deserved. You're stuck. You're stuck with that one. So the other guy's offering an alternative. Hey, you don't have to do what he says. Be lawless. Break the laws. Forget God. Do it your own way. Yeah, well, I feel like God will go along with me on this. Yeah, but you didn't ask him. Well, I decided not to check with him because he might not go along with me. But I believe the Spirit of the Lord, not so much the Bible. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is on my side there. I want to go with the Spirit of the Lord as I understand it. That's cool. That is great. I love that. That is so awesome. So what you do is you get yourself in trouble when you go your own way. How many have done that a little bit? I don't mean a lot, but just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just test it out. See if you can run your own life and hope you don't ruin it. Because every time you make a mistake, you got to pay. You know, you got to pay for all the stuff you do wrong. How many know that doesn't pay after a while? When you start to pay, you realize, well, I'm paying too much. I'm paying too much. I wished I had held off a bit. Maybe I should have listened to Jesus. Maybe I should have gone with God. So life, it's fixed. It's rigged. And all the only freedom you have is to decide whether you want to be a creature of God, a slave, I could say it that way, a slave of God or a slave of the other guy who, you know, he has plan B, an alternative. So how many decided to go with God? Geez, about everybody here. It's cool. How many at one time tried out the other guy? You know, just see what he might have to offer. And he's always friendly toward us. God is a little bit not so friendly sometimes. Because God is fierce about his laws. He really wants them kept, right? So he says, the day you eat of that, you'll die. And so we tested it out, ate it, and we didn't die. Now it made us think, hey, wait a minute, maybe God's a liar. Maybe the other guy told me the truth. How many know that Jesus said he was the truth, but the other guy said he was the truth? So you got to decide, well, which one's the truth? Who's telling me the truth that'll set me free? I think if I follow the devil, maybe he's telling me the truth. Jim, just get for yourself. Forget other people. Do your own thing. Wow. That's cool. He seems to be on my side. If the devil be for us, who can be against us? You know, I mean, the devil's for me, obviously, because he's telling me to do my own thing. Well, I'm going to go with him, because he seems to be for me. Now, God says, no, the devil lied to you. He knows that he doesn't really have any power at all. I have all the rules, and I don't change. Oh, God changes not. His rules stand forever. Isn't that amazing? The law of God will never, ever, 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 ever change. So you don't get to decide that one. I think I won't go with that law. I think I'll make up my own law. No, you can't do it. Okay, then I'll just go with the devil law. Okay. But the devil law is really just lawlessness, not going with God. Because the devil really doesn't have any laws. His law is just be lawless, not go with God. So you really only have one choice to make. Go with God and be his slave and never have a thought of your own, never have an emotion of your own, never have a deed of your own. In other words, you just got to do it his way and completely let him run your life. How many trust God? Okay, trusting God then is the decision you make if you tried it out with the other guy and found out he wasn't trustworthy. The other guy, Satan, he's a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning, Jesus said. He's lied all the way from the beginning. As soon as God told the truth, he told a lie. So that's pretty clear. So life boils down to not three things or gray things. Black, white. Yes, no. True, false. That's all. I discovered that when I was somewhere after college. I discovered that there really weren't three ways to go, right, wrong, and my way in the middle. I found out there was only two ways to go, right and wrong. Has everybody else found that out? You're either going to go with God or you're not. You're either for me or against me. I mean, that's all. And that simplified my life. That totally simplified my life. I didn't have to worry about loving Peggy or getting along with people or anything. I just had to solve one question in my life. Is God God or not? Now, here's how I decided it. Now, I want you to make the same decision. If God is good, go with Him. But if God is evil, don't go with Him. So now that's the whole question. You've got to decide that. He won't decide it for you. He already told you the answer. He said He was good, but the other guy said He was good. So I find that a lot of times people will say they're benefactors, but they're actually out to get me. Oh, yeah, let me help you. You know, like when the government says, I want to help you. It's like, never. The government has never, ever, 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 ever helped anyone. It could not. It not only didn't do it, it could never do it. So it's a lie when someone says, I took a benefit from the government. They gave me a benefit. They helped me out. Impossible. No government can give you a benefit because governments are not benefactors. They're always trustees of the benefactor who assigned them to benefit me. You see, they don't get a choice because God set the rules up. Now you say, but some people are disobeying the rules. You can disobey them all day long. They're still there. It doesn't matter. I don't care if the government calls itself a benefactor in a welfare state and, you know, bureaucracy and all this stuff. It's just made up words. Just nonsense. The government can never benefit anybody. In fact, I'll put you to the challenge. Tell me someone they've benefited. What have they done? What have they accomplished? No, no, no. Government does what I tell it to do. That is, I, along with all the sovereign people, all the aggregate people, in other words, everybody else, we tell the government what to do because we made it. Because God told us to make a government. God didn't make the government. He told us to make the government. Oh, we didn't make government itself. God did that. But we make the form of it. Monarchy, aristocracy, democracy. You know, we can make any form we want. So our founders decided not to have a monarchy, King George. We decided not to have one of those. We decided not to have an aristocracy of, you know, the rich and famous. We decided not to do that. We decided not to have a democracy. That, of all the forms of government, that was the one that the founders said was the most worthless and the most evil, was a democracy. So those leaders today that tell you we have a democracy are liars. Absolutely the opposite. Our founders would rather have a monarchy than a democracy. They would rather have an aristocracy than a monarchy. You have no safety in a democracy. Now, there will only be mob rule. Neither the individual nor the minority, smaller groups, will have any rights if the majority always dictates and rules. So it's the worst form of government on the face of the earth. Better to have a monarch. At least you could bribe him. At least you can get to him. At least you could, you know, have some kind of... He might protect you. Sometimes the King of England did something nice every once in a while. You know, that's possible. Or an oligarchy, you know, where you have some noble people called senators or something or other, trying to, you know, keep things going for the good of the peons and the plebes and so on. It's still a better deal than a democracy where you're running things yourself and you think you're running things. That's like you running yourself. You're so stupid you don't know what you're doing. You're completely easily deceived, easily lied to, easily demagogued, easily. And anybody with a little trick in his hand, you know, can lie to you and get your vote. So democracy is like the French Revolution. It'll always lead to terror, chaos, and destruction. Always. And a new dictator will always arise like a phoenix out of the ashes of what's left behind. So today, our whole world is in danger because all we have now, monarchies, oligarchies, or aristocracies, or plutocracies, or whatever, or silly things called democracies. But our founder said, let's not do that. Let's make something else. Let's make a republic of laws. A republic of laws where we'll be under God. A republic of laws, no king, no small group, and no majority of people will decide. Everybody will have rights under God. One nation under God with liberty and justice for all. It was kind of an experiment, and it's almost failed. And it hasn't quite failed because there's still you. You could decide today whether you want it to succeed or not. But it's so flimsy that it almost is gone. It's down to us. Yeehaw! You know, it's just down to us. Little people without a leader. We don't even have leaders. We can't even pick among the candidates and find a leader. Even if you found one you thought might be half good, it could never win. And if you pick between the devils that are up there and so on and so forth, you just have no choices at all. That's awful, isn't it? I think it's funny. Because it shows you what the problem is. Ah, you should have taken God first. Republic only belongs to those that have a God. You try to do a republic without God, it won't work. You might as well have a democracy. You might as well have an aristocracy. You might as well have a monarchy because you're going to get one anyway. Sooner or later, the president will become a king. Sooner or later, the judicial branch will be an aristocracy. Sooner or later, the democracy and mob rule will just take over and you'll have no rights at all. Sooner or later, you have no stable government, you have no freedom, you have nothing. You know why? Because everything you run, you ruin. Now, you better choose God or choose chaos. Isn't that powerful? Now, here's the beauty of Job. I like Job. Has anybody been blessed by Job? I like Job a lot. I really like the guy because I don't even know why he's in the Bible. And there's not a lot about, you know, nobody even knows when this book was written. I think it was written sometime after the flood. But nobody really knows when this thing was written. But at some point, I think probably after Moses, it was probably written around there, about that time. And so, it's not too different than the world today. Now remember, Edom is like the Palestinians today. So this guy Eliphaz, the Temanite, is actually from the very area where all the trouble is brewing today. Isn't that amazing? That's interesting. In other words, it's the same old story. And so this guy Eliphaz says this to Job. Now listen to this reasoning, see if you agree with it. Raise your hand if you agree with this reasoning. This is Eliphaz. He says, you know what, Job? You're sick. That proves God's not happy with you. Well, most of us wouldn't buy that. But still, he's making a point. Now, another thing, Job, you're poor, and that proves God isn't happy with you. You must have sinned, and now you're getting your just punishment. And another thing, you've lost all your children, and your relationships have gone to pot. And we, your friends, are sitting here accusing you of being a hypocrite and a liar and an evil and a continuously evil perpetrator. You're an ungodly man. You're not only unjust, you're immoral, and you're completely impious. Oh, man. You can't get a worse accusation than that. You're wrong with God, you're wrong with yourself, you're wrong with your neighbors, you're just plain flat wrong. And that's why you're in trouble today, because God's a just God, and if you were good, he'd never do this. The reason he's doing this is because you're no good and you won't admit it. All you got to do, buddy, is do something. If you just do a little bit of something, just do something. You know, start being a little pious, start being a little moral, start saying you're sorry about a few things, and start being unjust like you are. And then everything will go okay with you. So how many agree with that kind of thinking? That if somebody's down, you know they did something bad. You know that they did. You know they did. Because how could God let a good guy be punished? How could that happen? If you're a good person and God loves you and he protects you and he's watching over you, because he does, his own children, his own wife, his own beloved. Look at that. Look what happened to that person. Sin. I know it. Sin. And so God's just. Don't say he's not just. He wouldn't let a good guy go and a bad guy, you know. He wouldn't let the good guy get in trouble like that and the bad guy get away with murder. Remember we talked about that last week? We said that Job said, I've noticed in this world that bad guys do well and good guys often suffer. They said, we never heard such a theology. How could you say that good guys suffer? How could God allow that? And bad guys get away with murder? What are you saying? God isn't just? Huh! And so, how many agree with the Temanite? I'm telling you, this world believes what the Temanite just said. That God is a God of law and order and justice. And when somebody's good, he protects them and blesses them. And when somebody's bad, he gets them. That's what we're doing to those guys in Guantanamo Bay. Get them because they've done bad and make them punish. That's justice of God. And if they were good, they'd let them go free. It's as simple as that. Job said, I don't buy that, fellas. I'm not buying that at all. Yeah, look at you. You got boils all over your body. You're sick as a dog. You're about to perish and die. This will probably be your last breath. And not only that, you lost all your friends and your family and your relatives, and even the people in your house spit on you and despise you now. You look like nothing. You know, people don't hold you in high regard anymore. Notice? And not only that, God's mad at you because you're sinful and wicked and you've cheated the poor. And when you were a big shot before and you didn't take care of anybody, this is now you're getting it. Huh. How many know that Job didn't buy that? Job said, no, I'm innocent. I haven't done anything wrong. God loves me. I trust him. And I know I can't explain this punishment right now. I can't explain this. I know. I know God could stop it, and I know he's not. And I say he's just, but I also say there's something going on that I don't understand here, but I'll tell you what, even though he slay me, yet I will praise God. I'll trust in him. I'm not going to take my trust away. And I know that on the last day that my Redeemer, my kinsman Redeemer, my Goel, will stand upon the earth in the latter days, and he will declare my righteousness and my vindication. And I will hear these words said, well done, Job, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. That's powerful, is it not? That's powerful. I know that's going to be said of me. That's going to be said of me. I know when Jesus comes back, he's going to wink. I know he's just going to look through the whole crowd and just go, Jim, Jim. I know he's just going to pick me out personally like that. Yahoo! Jim, are you the one that had that church that you know, they didn't ever understand what you were saying and so on and so forth? Come on. Come with me. I've always loved you. You're a good boy. Good and faithful servant. And I'm going to get a big reward. I don't get it in this world, but I'm getting it in the next world. I'm telling you, I'll be well off and respected, and people will actually sigh as I walk by. No, it didn't happen in this world, I'll admit. And it couldn't happen to a finer person. I'll just say that. Woo-hoo! So you see, a lot of people believe because the first row is gone, the second row is gone, and thanks God for Mary, the third row is okay. The fourth row I've lost. You know, and I'm losing a lot of rows. But it doesn't seem to bother me because I have a God who just tickled pink with me. He's totally on my side. He's not worried about all that. He knows that the people we have left are the best. We're getting down to the finest. Amen. If you just look around, you'll see what I mean. I mean, these are quality people. We're not into numbers, we're into purity, maturity. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm happy, Joe, because we have now the right people. We got rid of all those bums and no goods and wicked people and ungodly and unjust and so on. Those were all Methodists. Those were all Presbyterians, Roman Catholics. We got rid of all them. Now we have the pure people. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? We're down to the raw. It's getting down. And next week it'll probably be lower. You just never know when the last person is going to be here. And I love it. I'm about to retire. I didn't tell you. I have Social Security. So I'm okay. I'm okay. I got Social Security. That's a benefit from the government. I guess the government loves me. Well, maybe I was wrong on that other part. You see, Job's friends were liars. And they pointed something out. Oh, by the way, don't worry about crowds. These tapes go out all over the world, and they have no idea how thin the brew is here. They don't know. They have no idea, because on the tape you can't tell. Zero in on this laughter up here so they know somebody's here. God is good. Now, the truth often comes forth in the wrong place at the wrong time. Jesus, for example, did not go to Rome and declare it in the capital. He went to some little, small, out-of-the-way place where hardly, you know, they just had a few followers and ragtag people, and some of them, you know, wanted to crucify him later. I mean, that's the group he went to. And he didn't even hardly leave his hometown. He just wandered a few miles, and he didn't even take a bus. Jesus never took a bus. He never even had a bus ride. Isn't that amazing? He never took a train ride. Jesus just, one time he took a donkey ride. I bet he wasn't even accustomed to it. But he went, wow, this is luxury. He had a, you know, a donkey, and, you know, and this was his first time, I think, on it. I don't know. Oh, yeah, that's right. When he was real little, his mother took one of those to Egypt. Took the round-trip ticket to Egypt. I'd like a donkey round-trip, please. And I think Joseph had to walk, at least on the Christmas cards. That's the way it is. Jesus and Mary on the donkey and Joseph walking. And that sells a lot of Christmas cards. They may have a royalty on that. I don't know if they get a royalty on those pictures or not. So God often does his most extraordinary things in the most ordinary places with the most ordinary people. Isn't that amazing? Why would he use nobodies to accomplish his greatest work? Do you know why? Do you know why? Does anyone know why? Why doesn't God care about crowds and, you know, fanfare and, you know, big cathedrals and so on? Why does God do his best work always in hidden ways that no one's even noticing? Do you know why? He wants the glory. He gets all the glory. If anything good would come out, you'd know it was God. Because we have nothing else going for us. We have no stained glass windows. I don't know. Do you notice that? Those are not stained glass windows. We have no baptismal font. We have no choir. And worst of all, no bowling alley in the basement. That's worse. Sorry. And a lot of churches are now getting Starbucks. We don't even have one of those. We don't even have one of those. So all we've got is me. This is awful. It's degrading. It's terrible. But you know what? I like it. I love it. I love preaching, proclaiming, telling the truth of God. And I believe that what Job told his friends was the truth, and what they told him was a lie. I do not believe God... Now, this is going to change your life. I'm so glad you're here today. The others are going to miss out unless they get the tape. So don't give it to them. Don't let them have it. Keep this just for yourself. God does not want you to be good. So I want you to just say that right now. God does not want me to be good. Well, that's good, because you're not. That's very good. He doesn't want you to be good. Why? Why doesn't... Does anyone know why God... I know a few, you know. But does anyone know why God doesn't want you to be good? Never intended for you to... Ever, ever wanted you to be good. Never. He didn't want you to be good. It's a burden. It's hard to be good. Has anyone ever tried to be good? It's too hard. I can only last for, I don't know, 4 nanoseconds or something. I'm just not a good person for long. I just can't do it, Joe. I've tried. I just can't do it. I just can't keep it up. I tend to just get tired right away of doing good. I can only be good, decent, kind, gentle, just so long, and then I get tired of it. Is anyone else like me? Is there anyone? 1, way in the back. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The rest of you can hold out? Mom, no. Are you admitting that? Praise God. I knew there was hope. I love wicked people. I absolutely love wicked people. You know why? It's the only kind of people there are. There's only wicked people. Now I'm going to give you a scripture. I'm going to give you a scripture. God is just, and the justifier of the ungodly. You have to be ungodly to be justified. He's not the justifier of the godly. He's the justifier of the ungodly. He sanctifies the godly that he made godly by justifying. But justifying means you're not actually good, but he just said you were good because Jesus, who is good, died for you, lives for you, and is your only goodness. He is my righteousness. Now, I'm going to say some more because I still haven't convinced everybody. Okay. God is good. How many agree God is good? That's one thing about God. He tends to be good. So, God is good. And God's good all the time. God is good, you know, all the time. Okay, so God is good all the time, so God's good. But here, something you may not know. God is the only one that's good. Only God is good. He's the only one. He's in a class all by himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just the three of them are good. Good, 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 good. And the rest of us are not. Why? Because none is good but God, Jesus said. None is good. None is good. No one is good. Not one is good. Only God. So how could you be good? If God is good, and only God is good, and God is good all the time, how could you ever be good? So, not only that, but he's added to it by saying, all have sinned and fallen short. So apparently good is not one of the things we can do. I definitely fell short. I'm a short faller. I fall short always of the glory of God. I am just not, you know, if this was good here, I'd fall right short. I just can't get there. I'm just not able to make the leap, the jump. I can't chin the bar. I just can't reach it. Amen? And the way you find that out is not in church where we're all kind and nice looking, phony, fake. The way you find out is to live with somebody on a close basis for 2 or 3 days or months or years. That's where you really find out what people are made out of. God is good. How many know God is good? So Job's friends were wrong. They said, Job, if you just do something, what? Repent. Say you're sorry. Do something. And Job said, no, I'm not going to. I know I'm right with God. I don't care whether I'm good or bad. But you don't know of anything bad about me. But I don't care. I'm not standing on that. I trust God that he's good. And he's my goodness. Because I have a kinsman redeemer who on the latter day will stand on the earth. And he will declare my righteousness. He will say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in the joy of your master. He'll vindicate me. I know that right now my body's falling apart and my friends have left me and I know my children are all gone and I know that everything looks bad. I know that. But you know what? I know that my Redeemer liveth. He's not dead. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I may die, but even though he slay me, yet I will trust in the Lord. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. Even though I lose everything, I will not count it. Though there's no grain in the bin and there's no fig on the tree and there's no calf in the stall, yet I will praise God. I will trust God. I will believe that my Redeemer liveth. That's hard to do. I'm telling you, the devil's view of things is, you better be good or you've got it. You've had it. You're going to get it. If you do bad, you're going to get it from God. That's a lie. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, no, no. If you do bad, God will offer you salvation. He doesn't offer salvation to the good. He offers salvation to the wicked, the ungodly. Ungodly. Now, I don't know how many of you are ungodly. I am. Always have been. I plan to always be. I don't plan to ever, until I'm dead. When I'm dead, I believe you'll see a different person. Because I'll be dead. And it'll be a great joy. Whew. His sinning is over. You know, and that'll be a great joy for me too. And for everybody. it'll be a relief. Amen? Amen? Because I'm not good. Oh, you say, well, Pastor, one day you did something and said something that was good. Well, I know, but I didn't do it. I don't know, that was a surprise. That was a miracle, I think. What happened there? I wasn't even aware of that. If I did anything good, I'd try to get something out of that. Try to get some advantage from it. But you see, God just happens to like me. He doesn't want me to be good. He just wants me to be right. He doesn't want me to be good. He just wants me to be right. He doesn't want me to be good. He just wants me to be right. But He doesn't want me to be right under the law. He wants me to be right under grace. He wants me to be right this way. Rightly relate to me, Jim. I'll be good because only I am good and none is good but me. And you're not good, but I'll be good for you. And I'll impute to you, I'll reckon to you, I'll say of you, you're good. I'll just say it. You won't actually be good, but I'll just say it. Huh. Whoa. I like that idea. How many likes that idea? How many liketh that idea? That is a great idea, that God would take somebody who actually was no good and then just say of them, that person is good. That's not true of me actually, but it's true of me by faith. Under the law, I'm not good. If God would go by His law, I would not be good, but He doesn't go by His law. You know why? Because His law is finished. There is no more law of God. Why? It's finished. It's finished. When did it finish? When the guy who it was written for fulfilled it. It was written for Jesus. See, when Jesus died on this cross, it was over. Remember He said it's finished? Everything under the law was now paid for. See, it says up here, debt canceled, paid in full. That's the word tetelestai. Teleo, telestai, tetel. Tetel is the perfect. Tetel, teleo, that means the end has come. It's over, done, paid in full, finished, kaput, mature. So everything that I owed, been paid for, whoever died on that cross died for me and you and everybody. All the debt's been canceled, paid, finished. Never will be brought up again. Because God's fully satisfied now. When He saw the death of Jesus, He saw my death. He said, Jim, take it if you want it. Take it if you want it. I'm not forcing it on you, but take it if you want it. So when you come into my court, don't go to the law court. Go into the debt-free court. You know, where only those that are ungodly and didn't keep the law get to go. Because the law, which would have killed you, it'll actually make you alive now. So I'm going into the equity court where I get what God intended, not what I deserved. I get what God intended, not what I deserve. You see, the one who makes the equity, the one that determines the equity, is the one that holds the equitable title. You see? And so, since I was the equitable title holder, and Jesus was the legal title holder, He died that I might live. He sacrificed Himself. He became nothing so that I could live. So Job is right. You don't have to be good to be right. You have to be right to be good. You don't have to be good to be right. You have to be right to be good. You don't have to be good. The word good in Hebrew, tov, and the word right in Hebrew, tzaddik, are different words. Same in the Greek. Dikaiosune means to be imputed righteous, not actual. Hagios is actual. Doxa is actual. Those are inner and outer words. Actually righteous is not something I can produce. I am not a factory of real righteousness. I am simply a vessel for God who really is righteous. So if any good thing comes out of me, it came from Jesus, who lived in me, who's for me, who's in me, who's through me. It's all Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jim, but in me, through me, by me, you can do all things. So I'm doing them, but I'm not doing them. He just declared me to be righteous, and then through the Holy Ghost that lives inside of me, He's actually doing some things, and I get all the credit. I get all the benefit. I get the usufruct. That is, I get the fruit of what He did. I get His wage, and He gets mine. The wages of sin, death. He got that. The wages of life, you know, the wages of being good, You get eternal life. I got that. We traded. It was a neat exchange. I loved it because he wanted my death because he loved me. And he knew that I was a sinner. And he knew, he said, Jim, I see you're in trouble. Let me save you. Then let me fill you with, I'll give you my spirit. You do not have the right spirit, Jim. He knew that. He was right. I have a bad spirit. I'm a bad seed. The way I was born, the way I grew up, even becoming a pastor, I should never have made it. But they didn't check real carefully. I snuck right by. I should not be a minister. I should not be, because I'm not good. And they were supposed to check for good guys. They let me in. Huh. It's amazing. Well, now that I'm in, I'm not letting go. Because you see, I'll tell you why I got in. Is he liked me, and he liked you. And because he liked you, he gave you me. Isn't that beautiful? Do you see that? Do you see the preciousness of God? I'm a gift. A great gift of God. That's in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, by the way. And he gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and so on, and some to be pastors, who are indeed teachers. Well, that's me. I'll tell you, I know exactly who I am. And I know someday he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. You call me good? How am I good? Well, I imputed you good. Oh, I see, you just imputed me. But I'm not actually good. Oh yeah, you're actually good too. How's that? Oh, I did that through the Holy Ghost. When we got into a relationship because we were right, we were in right relationship, I started to work that through you. I didn't know that. What did I do? Well, you weren't paying attention. That was when, every time I killed you, I did a good thing through you. As long as you were alive, I couldn't get anything done. And so there it is. There's the miracle that when I'm not even paying attention and everybody's looking at my sinfulness, Jesus will do a good thing. And someone will walk out and say, you know, that blessed me. That set me free. I was completely blessed. Well, I had nothing to do with that. I absolutely had nothing to do with it. I was so focused on myself, I didn't even notice. Hello? All I was looking for was the offering. That was it. And you know, when you have fewer customers, you got to get more. So I'm trying to milk the crowd here so I can get a little bit more. Charlie, this is a day to give a lot. Try to give big if you can. I've never preached this message before, but this is a good day to do it. Charlie, if you've never given before, let this be the biggest gift you've ever thought of. See, there's how you do it. But you know what? I am so foolish that I don't even believe in that agenda. I'm too happy that Jesus loves me that I even notice that I'm accomplishing anything. I don't even want to accomplish anything. I don't even want to be good. How many want to be good? I don't want to be good. It's too hard. It's too much work. Being good is a great weight. Now, I'm just going to take all the weight off of everybody. Now, I took all the weight off and put it over there on Jesus. Now, that's finished. You see, that was done 2,000 years ago, and I just put my most recent produce on Jesus. Now, he's got it all. Jesus wants you not to bear any burdens. He wants you to get all the blessings. So you're the beneficiary of that trustee under God, the benefactor. Satan is not a benefactor. He's actually an enemy of the trust that God set up. He's against God. He's against God's law. He's against God's provision. He's against God's officers. And he's against the people of God who are beneficiaries trying to be safe and happy. Now, I'll tell you something. Don't try. Just let Jesus guarantee it. It's up to Jesus to stop the devil, not you. Get out of here, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You don't have to do all that. Do you all understand that? Pastor, get me some deliverance. Thank you. I'm free now. You don't need that. I mean, it's part of the ministry. You can have it. But you're not really dependent on anything but Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything. When you get Jesus, you don't have to worry about, now let me get it straight. Do I have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And do I have to do this? And do I have to do that? You don't have to do anything. You just believe Jesus. He's taking care of you. Now, if he offers you a gift, I would recommend taking it. Because if you don't take it, you may find out later you needed it. For example, what if you only want salvation, but you don't want sanctification? They're both gifts. What did you do for your salvation? Zero. We all admit that. But what are you going to do for your sanctification? Well, here's the part you must do. I don't think so. Sanctification.
No, it's not so bad.
We don't need to sanctify ourselves because we can't do it any more than we can create ourselves, any more than we can redeem ourselves. We don't have to do any of that. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Did you know just by listening, very passive, most of you are sitting right now, but you're just kind of sitting there listening. Did you know that the Holy Spirit's at work right now going up and down the lanes? Everybody that I took all your sin off of you and your burden and your weight, now He's just there ministering happiness and kindness and gentleness. He's just there giving you free gifts. Take them. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Take His gifts. If He says you need it, you need it. You say, well, I could be good on my own. I don't think so. Well, now that He saved me, I want to show my gratitude. I don't think so. I don't think you know how to show gratitude. I think you're like me. You will steal a little bit of glory for yourself. You'll try to get a little pleasure. I have known people personally who they get into a relationship and it doesn't work out the way they wanted, then they try to command it and demand it and conquer it and control it. Have you known anybody like that? You get into a relationship, you get frustrated with the other person. Would you please just do what I say? Then everything will work out good. I tried that with Peg and I. But Peg is stubborn. I didn't realize what that German background would do. I didn't know. I'd heard that proverb that Germans are stubborn, but she is stubborn. Then she's Scottish. Not only is she German, she's Scottish. And I found out that's not like the Irish. She wasn't like me at all. Good sense of humor. She had no sense of humor. She just could glare at you. You have not done well. It's like, Peg, let me off, let me off. See, that's okay in an Irish pub. But you get into a marriage, that's not okay. And so, you know, so Joe, I had a trouble trying to control her. I could not control her. I could not. Then, not only on top of that, she tried to control me. She tried to control me. Where are you going? Hey, wait a minute, I'm a free spirit. I'm a pastor on the work of the Lord. I'm going forth for the Lord's glory. She didn't buy that. Well, where are you going? I want to know where you're going. In case somebody wants to get a hold of you. No. 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 I could just feel the chains. You know, people will abuse you. I don't know if you know that, but pastors can be abused. Y'all aware of that? I mean, they can be abused because you get phone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know, when I wake up at 8, somebody feels, well, he's just getting up. I'll get him before his day starts. You made a mistake there. I've already been up. You're wrong. I get 20 calls a day, at least 20 calls a day. How many do we get a day? Our machine fills up. We need to get a big machine because it just fills up too fast. And some people want to preach long messages on there instead of just saying, hi, it's me, call back, you know. They want to put a whole thing on there. Hi, I'm totally depressed. Do you think you could do anything? Quickly call me before I'll fall apart or kill myself in a few minutes. So on. You have these long messages about that. And I haven't even eaten lunch. So you better have a God. You don't want Pastor Jim to be your God. He is not a good God. So here's the thing about Job. Job had not sinned in his own mind. But he wasn't saying he was perfect. All he was saying was, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He was just saying, I'm putting my trust in the Lord. I'm not trying to be good. I don't have to be good. I think I am good, but I'm not trying to be good. But if I am good, I trust Him to make me good. I'm not producing that. I'm just right with Him who is good. I'm right with Him who is good. I'm right with Him who is good. I'm not good. But I'm right with Him who is good. Why? Because I took it. I took His goodness. He said, Jim, I did this for you. You did that for me? I'll take it. I trust in that. And now the Father's pleased with you. The Father's pleased with me because of what you did? Yes. And all the blessing I was going to get for doing this, I give it to you. Woo-hoo! I'll tell you, does that make you feel good or what? I don't sow and then reap. I know some ministers teach that. You sow, you reap. I don't believe that. I'll tell you what I believe. I sow, Jesus reaps. Jesus sows, I reap. That's the way I look at it. I like that view. I like that view. Do you like my little tricky idea there? I like this view. Whatever I sow, Jesus reaped. Whatever he sowed, I reaped. That seems to me equal. That is absolutely equal. Because it was something Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to die for me. He came for that reason. Jim, I have been longing for this day when I could die for you, die for Joe. Joe, you're in the same boat as I am. It's sad. It's pathetic. But you are, Joe. Put you in the same boat. If I make it, you're going to make it. If you make it, I'll make it. Because we're in the same boat. You see, Jesus did it all because he loves everybody here individually, not as a big glob. Jesus loves you individually, Craig. He loves you just the way you are. You don't have to be good because you're not good. Only God is good. And God is the only one that's good. And none is good but God. And you're certainly not. And never will be, ever. But he'll impute to you goodness, which you didn't do, because you're right with him. And then he will actually work it in you, and you will think it was you, but it wasn't you. It was actually Jesus in you, working through you, because he's at work in you to will and then to do. You didn't do it. He did it. The Holy Spirit's at work in you to do, to will it. You didn't even want to do it. He did it. I'll tell you what, stop sweating. Stop working so hard. Let the Holy Spirit have his day. This is the day for the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not right now on the earth. The Holy Spirit's here. But because you can't see him, you think he's not here. But he's at work inside of you. And here's what he's saying. Don't sweat. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't be good. Don't try to please me. Jesus already did it. He did it for you. He did all the pleasing. I'm satisfied, totally satisfied. When I saw what he did, I took that for you. I accounted it for you. I reckoned it on your account. Now, here's how that works. Let's say I was your bookkeeper. You would do well to make me your bookkeeper. You really would. Because the way I keep books is funny. Let's say I saw that there was a short in one of the accounts. Well, as a bookkeeper, I can just keep the books and then just show you were short. That would be the holiness. That would be under the law. But I also, in equity, could decide to say something. I'd say, oh, she's short $50,000 in her account. And being a good bookkeeper, I got an idea. And here's how I would do it. I would go, but I noticed she didn't take depreciation. And there was a government offset. And so I can change the books, even though you're down $50,000, I can change it when it's all done by being very, very clever. I can rearrange the books so that they come out whole. Oh, and another idea I've got. I can also pay your account out of my own account and no one can say I can't do it. I can actually do that if I want to. That's what Jesus did. He adjusted your account so that you came out, and even though you weren't righteous, and even though you were in debt, and even though you owed everything, he paid himself. And he rearranged the books so that it came out, well done, good and faithful servant. And I didn't even do anything. I got in debt. But he made it look like because of depreciation. He depreciated all my assets and said, oh, no. Let's count it this way instead of that way. And he accounted. He was a good accountant. He accounted me. He reckoned me. He put it down logically so that I actually came out ahead. And I got a big profit at the end. And the IRS sent me back a check. I loved it. I owed them $7,000. And pretty soon he said, no, they owe you five. Oh, what an accountant. Do you all understand what I'm saying? Jesus, even though you did wrong, and even though under the law you failed, Jesus can show you another way through equity that you didn't know about, and he can make your books come out right. A good businessman is able to take a failing business and turn it around. It isn't the business. It doesn't matter what kind of business you get into. It's who has the capital, and who has the knowledge, and who has the capacity and the vision, and the character, and the relationship to you to make you win. and make you whole and make you succeed. You see, Job's friends were out to get Job, and they said to him, "You have committed great sin. We know it, just looking at you, looking at your circumstances." But Job said, "I'm innocent." And they said, "And that's the worst thing you've done of all, is that you won't admit you did bad. You did wrong. You needed to do something, and you won't even do it right now. And therefore, God's going to further get you." And he said, "I don't care. You know, first of all, I don't buy it. But second of all, let me die. I don't care. But I know this, my Redeemer liveth. And I know that at the last day, he's going to stand upon the earth and declare my vindication, my holiness, my purity. So I don't care what you say. I don't care how it appears. I know what it looks like under law. I know it looks like I'm, you know, God is just because I'm getting it. But he's not just, and I won't say he is. I say he's just when he makes me whole. I say he's just when he blesses the one he intended to bless. I say God is not just if the righteous die and perish. I say he's just because he's made me righteous so that I would not perish. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that at the latter day he will stand upon the earth. And he will declare to the whole world, this man is righteous. And the Father will say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. I'm glad that I have no righteousness. I'm glad that I'm not godly. I'm glad I'm ungodly, unrighteous, wicked, shallow, worthless, without value. Because in the eyes of God, he says, no, but I created you. And I sent my Son to redeem you. And I sent my Holy Spirit to perfect you. You will be perfected. You are redeemed by faith, not by works of the law. I sent the law for him, but I sent the mercy for you. I sent the law for him, but I sent the mercy for you. He is good. God is good. None is good but God. And all his goodness is for you. First to be imputed, then to be actually worked into you, so that even the world will say, truly, that man was right with God. And no one will understand. You know what? It wasn't even me. It was my relationship with Jesus. It was Jesus doing it. I'm going to give him all the glory. And that pleases Jesus. Jesus doesn't want me to be good. He was good for me. And he's the only one that's good. And he doesn't want me to be good. And that's good because I'm not. Never will be. David, you're not good. Not good. Not good. He's worse. I'm glad you see that clearly. Nathan, you're not good. Yeah, no, Nick's good. Nick, you're not good. None of us are good. None is good but God. God is good. Only God is good. And here's what he does with his goodness. Gives it away. He applies it to your account. He has so much good in him, and he's the only one that is good. He has so much, and he wants to give it to the ungodly. He says, who am I going to give this to? And they said, well, all we have is ungodly people. Okay, well, I'll give it to them. That's how good he is. That is, God never wanted me to be good. He always wanted me to be a taker. He wanted to be the giver. He wanted me to be the taker. I'm a big taker of good. I take good all day long. What do you mean? Are you putting a weight on me? No, no pressure on you, Jim. I just want you to have a good time. Oh, okay, I'll take that. You want me to have a good time? What if I abuse it? What if? Okay, well, when I abuse it, are you going to withdraw it? No, I'll stick with you to the death. I will never leave you or forsake you. Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh, I might kill you by accident or something, God. That's been tried. It's okay. I love you that much. I don't care what it costs me. I want my goodness to go to you. I want it to be reckoned to your account. I will call you well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in the joy of your master. Woo! I don't know. Did anybody get it? I'm such a crazy person. I wish I could get that across to somebody. Did I reach anybody? I reached you, Deb? Did I reach you? Seriously? Who else? Yeah? Are you serious? You got it? Nick? James? Anyone else? Norman? Anyone else? Who else? All right. Let's have Let's have a testimony of somebody who doesn't normally give a testimony. Some person is real shy. Let's have a shy testimony. Someone who's not a, you know, grateful person outwardly, but just grateful inwardly. Who? Who? Well, I must have got one. Did I get one? Someone who normally doesn't speak up and say, I've never spoken before and I hope I can speak. But who would that be? Now that I've embarrassed you, go ahead. Let's go ahead. Who would that be? Someone. Someone. All right. I'm going to let it be you. It'll be you. Tell me why you got it today. What do you feel? Do you feel good? You think you're good? No. Do you know you're not good? Do you know you'll never be good? Does that make you feel good? Then what good are you? No good. Well, then how are you going to make it? That's it. He gave the right answer. Because God is good. And He doesn't need any goodness, and He doesn't have any anyway, and He'll never get any. He has Jesus. When you get Jesus, you get everything. That's all you need. It's so simple. Everyone's mad at that because they want you to have to do something, put some weight on you, some burden on you, as though you had to do something other than what Jesus Christ did. He said, it's finished. I believe it's finished. Now the Holy Spirit is finishing up what Jesus finished, which the Father finished at creation. So the one finished the other, finished the other. Now the Holy Spirit hasn't yet perfected you so that you can see what you're going to look like someday. But we know that when He appeareth, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So we who thus hope in Him, hope now, it's changing us from one degree of glory to another. But you don't see the finished product yet. You don't know how glorious this room is. Because the Lord God Himself dwells in each one of you who have said, Lord, I trust You. I've gotten rid of that other guy. He ruined my life. I now trust You to be my goodness. I trust You to perfect me. I trust You to take care of everything. I trust You to clean up my mess. I trust You to fix my life. I have ruined it as much as I possibly can, and I've saved a little bit left to ruin some more. But basically, could You please take over pretty soon before I have nothing left? You're a good people. Of course, only God is good. But by imputation, you're good people. And the Holy Spirit's at work to make you as good as He imputed you to be. All right, let's pray. Father God, we give You the praise, the glory, the honor, because You truly are good. Let all of Israel say You are good. Let the house of Israel say it. Let the house of Jacob say it. Let the house of David say it. Let all of Israel know how good You are. They've still heard the lie. They're like Job's friends rather than like Job. But let Israel know that even though they do not deserve Your love, Your forgiveness and Your mercy and Your power, be merciful to them, Lord God. Show them Your kindness as You have done to us. Do not leave them out. Make them jealous by our mercy. The mercy that You have shown to us, alone by which we are made good, and You are making us good. Because we were right with You by believing on You and not believing on ourselves. Make them also, Lord, into Your image and into Your likeness, so that the world may know that You are a God who disposes. Not the justice under the law, but the true justice through equity. That all may be done, not according to some burden laid upon us, but upon a burden laid upon Jesus, given to us as You originally purposed and intended before the foundation of the world, that You would have a holy people, a good people, a great people, a true people, which You, the good God, the great God, the holy God, did make. And so we give You the praise and the glory and the honor. And everyone said, amen. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Maintain you, sustain you, and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his face, with a smile, intending only good things, having no other desire but to give you peace and well-being and the fruit which you bestow upon those that do not deserve it. May the Lord bless and keep you, and may the Lord let his countenance, his face, be upon you. We ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. God is good. Only God is good. No one is good but God. And someday he'll say to you, good and faithful servant.